WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. You give God praise for something and you want to get the devil back, do it like this. Bam! In your face, devil! That's right. Come on now. That's how you do it. Now, if you really decide to go, bam, in your face, devil. Good morning. Hey, listen, I am so excited to be with you in Numbers today. We are actually on chapter 32 to 36. We're going to finish Numbers today. And guess what, Bride? Moses is not dying in this one. Remember yesterday I was like, no, Moses is going to die. Well, he's not going to die in this one. Well, I guess it would help if I had my microphone. Let's do this again. I was saying that we're going to do Numbers 32 to 36 today, and Moses is not dying. We're going to finish Numbers, and then tomorrow, we are going to go straight into Deuteronomy. Listen, I did a post this morning, and I said, Bride, you need to learn your word, because we do not have much longer to have this Bible, the Word of God, so freely. Amen. You notice how they're already trying to shut us up on social media. This is the beginning, Bride. I don't care who's president. This is the beginning. It's all lining up for the New World Order, the One World Religion, and the Antichrist to come on the scene. Okay, so if you would turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 32. Now, we are in Numbers 32. Okay, there it is. I pray that y'all like me having it on the screen where you can follow me instead of me just reading it to you. My internet's acting crazy today. Lord, I thank you. We're praying that all of this will work, Lord, that the equipment will work. And if not, we will just read out of your word today. But Lord, we thank you for your word and for having equipment to spread your word with. Okay, well, we will just go back to this screen then. We'll go back to the old-fashioned way of doing Bible study. How's that, Brad? Okay, let's get in our Bibles and go to Numbers 32. All right, let's see. In my Bible, I'm still on 27, so let's go to 32. All right, here we go, Brad. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jezer and the land of Gilead, that, behold, the place was a place for cattle. Now remember, they have not went into the promised land yet. Okay, they're getting ready to, but they have not went in there yet. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spoke to Moses and to Eleazar the priest, and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Elulel and Shebam and Nebo and Beam, I'm probably saying these names wrong, but even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Okay, let's turn the page here. Wherefore said they, if we have found grace in your sight, let this land be given unto the servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Wow, they didn't want to go in the promised land? Wow, that's amazing. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you just sit here? That is funny. And wherefore discourage you the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadeshbar to see the land. For when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he swore, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. So Moses is explaining to these two children that if you do this, you're going to make God mad. This is the way I'm understanding it. Save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and the Kenizzite and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, you are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if you turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and you shall destroy all this people. So he's trying to tell them, don't do this, or they're going to have to do this again. And then you're going to get a lot more people killed. That's probably pretty wise, huh? Okay, and they came near unto him and said, "We will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their own place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side of Jordan eastward." Wow. "And Moses said unto them, If you will do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward you shall return, and be guiltless before the Lord, and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord." Wow, he's saying, okay, help us to obey the Lord, and then once we obey the Lord, you can do what you're going to do. Wow, that's pretty cool. "But if you will not do this, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build you cities for your little ones, and folds for your sheep, and do that which has proceeded out of your mouth." And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spoke unto Moses, saying, "Thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. But thy servants will pass over, every man armed for war, before the Lord to battle, as my Lord saith." So concerning them, Moses commanded Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, and the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, "If the children of Gad and the children of Reuben will pass with you over Jordan, every man armed to battle before the Lord, and the land shall be subdued before you, then you shall give them the land of Gilead for a possession. But if they will not pass..." So basically Moses is laying down the law. That's what he's doing right here. "But if you will not pass over with you armed, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, As the Lord has said unto thy servants, so will we do." Well, that's good that they're going to honor the Lord there. "We will pass over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan, that the possession of our inheritance on this side Jordan may be ours. And Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad, and to the children of Reuben, and unto half of the tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land, with the cities thereof in the coast, even the cities of the country round about. And the children of Gad built Dibon, and Ataroth, and Aroer, and Atroth, Shophan, Jazar, and Jogbahat, and Beth Minrah, and Beth Haran, fenced cities and folds for sheep. And the children of Reuben built Heshbon, and Elealeh, and Kirjahim, and Nebo and Bamion, their names being changed, and Shibma, and gave other names unto the cities which they builded. And the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, went to Gilead and took it, and dispossessed the Amorite which was in it. And Moses gave Gilead unto Machir, the son of Manasseh, and he dwelt therein. And Jair, the son of Manasseh, went out and took the small towns thereof, and called them Havoth-Jair. And Nobah went and took Kenath and the villages thereof, and called it Nobah, after his own name. Now, Brian, I've just got to say, and then we're going on to chapter 33. Okay. These people have been wandering in the wilderness, it seems like forever. What a dream it must be to them to settle down. What a dream to be able to build and stop for a while. Just to build and set up and dream. I mean, these people have been in the pit, basically. They have been in the wilderness. They've lost many family members. They've lost many friends due to the judgments of God coming down. And now these are the ones that are left, and they're ready to settle down. They're ready to start their own village and start a new life. Amen. This is their promised land they're preparing. I can just hear right now, those that are watching, how many is ready to do this? How many is ready to build and possess the land and step into your promised land? Amen. All right, so let's keep going. Now we're on chapter 33. This is Numbers 33. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their goings out. 1,000,000 people. I mean, it started out as like 600 and something thousand. Much less the ones where they have multiplied and all this. And then Moses spread out, God spread out Moses' anointing among 70 elders. I mean, this man has done an amazing feat. And God was with him through it all. He led him through every day. And they departed from Ramesses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month. So this right here that we're reading is the recorded official statement of what happened with Moses. So this ought to be amazing. On the morrow after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. For the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, which the Lord had smitten among them. Upon their gods also the Lord executed judgments. And the children of Israel removed from Ramesses and pitched in Succoth. And they departed from Succoth and pitched in Etham, which is in the east, which is in the edge of the wilderness. And they removed from Etham and turned again unto Pihahiroth, which is before Beelzephon, and pitched before Migdol. And they departed from before Pihahiroth and passed through the midst of the sea onto the wilderness, and went 3 days' journey into the wilderness of Etham and pitched in Marah. Now, really, Bride, this is very important, because if you're a scribe, like I feel that God has called me to do in writing a scribe, it's very important to document and put it in writing, the miracles of God. And that is what is happening right here. And they departed from before Pisrah. Okay, I'm sorry. And they removed from Marah and came unto Elam. And in Elam were 12 fountains of water, and 70 palm trees. And they pitched there. I bet those palm trees are nice after being in the desert for a while, huh? And they removed from Elam and encamped by the Red Sea. And they removed from Red Sea and encamped in the wilderness of Sin. And they took their journey out of the wilderness of Sin and encamped in Dophkah. And they departed from Dophkah and encamped in Alush. And they removed from Alush and encamped. So this is awesome. It's basically drawing out a map biblically where they went. You know, a lot of these cities don't even exist anymore. So this is neat that it's actually documented throughout all time what their great exploits were. Okay, and encamped at Rephidim. Let me turn my Bible over. Where was no water for the people to drink. And they departed from Rephidim and pitched in the wilderness of Sinai. And they removed from the desert of Sinai and pitched at Kibroth-Hattaavah. And they departed from Kibroth-Hattaavah and encamped at Hazeroth. And they departed from Hazeroth and pitched in Rithmah. And they departed from Rithmah and pitched at Rimmon-Perez. And they departed from Rimmon-Perez and pitched in Libnah. I mean, think about it, Bride. This is so amazing on so many levels. You're taking hundreds of thousands of people, and you are going from city to city to city to city, and you're just following the Lord. I know I've been doing this for 5 years of the blind obedience, you know, just following Him. From city to city and letting Him lead. It is not an easy thing. And these people, yeah, they got frustrated. Moses, sometimes they complained against Moses and the leaders because this was never done before. This was a new thing. They were led out of Egypt. Although they was in bondage, it was still familiar. Now, how many of us, Bride, that have had bondages in our past? And when things get rough and get hard, we consider going back to that bondage. Why? Because it's familiar. And that was the children of Israel. And some of them got killed for their complaining. I mean, it's amazing that we don't have that type of penalty again today by God. Okay, so let's keep going here. And they went from Keltha, and we're in verse 23, and pitched in Mount Shephar. And they removed from Mount Shephar and camped in Taharadah. And they removed from Haradah and pitched in Mekheloth. And they removed from Mekheloth and encamped at Tahath. And they departed from Tahath and pitched at Tara. And they removed from Tara and pitched in Mithkah. And they went from Mithkah and pitched in Hashmonah. And they departed from Hashmonah and encamped at Mazaroth. Now, Bride, I want you to consider something else. These towns are named after people. These are other people in the world. Okay? Remember, you have the world people, which is kind of like the Gentiles. Okay? You have the Gentiles out here. And these are just other people living in the world, okay? But then you have the Israelites. These are a chosen people. These are special to God. These are a unique breed. They're a family, you know? And so that's why he told them, do not mix because you are pure. You are holy and you are pure and you are set apart. Okay, so when they went to all these cities, that's what all these names are. Okay, so let's continue. And they departed from Hashmonah and encamped at Mazaroth. And they departed from Mazaroth and pitched in Benjakin. And they removed from Benjakin and encamped in Horazgad. And went from that city and pitched in Jobetha. And they removed from Jobetha and encamped at Ebronah. And they departed from Ebronah and encamped at Ezion Gabar. And they removed from Ezion Gabar and pitched in the wilderness of Zin, which is Kadesh. And they removed from Kadesh and pitched in Mount Hor in the edge of the land of Edom. And Aaron the priest went up into Mount Hor at the commandment of the Lord, and died there. Isn't that sad, Bride? It was sad when he died. So let's repeat that again. And Aaron the priest. Now remember, Aaron the priest has been through a lot. What a life. I mean, you could do a whole movie on Aaron the priest. He went through a lot. So he went up into Mount Hor at the commandment of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? That God told him. And died there in the 40th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt in the first day of the fifth month. And Aaron was 123 years old when he died in Mount Hor. And King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south of the land of Canaan, heard of the coming of the children of Israel. And they departed from Mount Hor and pitched in Zalmunna. And they departed from Zalmunna and pitched in Paran. And they departed from Paran and pitched in Oboth. And they departed from Oboth and pitched in Egeberim and the border of Moab. And they departed from Eam and pitched in Dibonah. And they departed from Dibon-Gad and encamped in Almanib-Tham. And they removed from Almanib-Tham and pitched in the mountains of Abarim before Nebo. And they departed from the mountains of Abarim and pitched in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. And they pitched by Jordan from Beth-Jemoth even unto Abel-Shittim in the plains of Moab. And the Lord spoke unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you, and destroy all their pictures. Now, bride, we need to hear this. This is going into foreign territory. Okay? Going into foreign territory, going into an idolatrous country, and this is God telling them what to do. So we need to pay attention. He's saying, get rid of their pictures. This is verse 52. Get rid of their pictures. Destroy all their molten images. And quiet pluck down all their high places. And you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein. For I have given you the land to possess it. Let me say it again. I have given you the land to possess it. When I think of America, even though I'm Indian, I'm Cherokee Indian, I believe from the bottom of my heart that God told those people to come over here and to inherit the land. I believe America is blessed because God is the Lord of America. He is God bless America. He is the king of it. We dedicated this land to him, and we have a covenant with God in the United States of America. Okay, so let's keep going. Verse 54. And you shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families, and to the more you shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer you shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your fathers, you shall inherit. How exciting, bride! Wouldn't you be excited if you was the tribe of Reuben and you was going over there and they're fixing to cast your lot? You're like, oh, where is the land? Where is my lot? Where am I going to build a house? I want to build this. I want to do that. I want to grow a garden. I mean, can you imagine how exciting they are to be able to step into this promised land? Bride, this is so excited. We have been with them through the journey, all through Numbers. We have been with the children of Israel through their journey. Now remember, Bride, when we started this Bible study months ago, I think it was right after the 40 days fasting and praying when we did the Bible studies every day for the idols, we started this in Genesis and we asked the Lord, we dedicated this Bible study to the Lord. And listen, we asked the Lord, Lord, we know we don't have much time left to be able to be blessed to have the Word of God with us. So what we're asking you, Lord, is that this Word would go deep in our hearts and that we will eat the scroll, that we will have an understanding of the Word, that this would come to life and be buried, that God would secretly bury it deep in our hearts, and that the Holy Spirit would reveal it, that He would actually like take us back in time, that He would take us back in time and allow us to live the experience of the Word. And it's been great, Brian. It has been great. That's why I'm ready to cry when it comes to Moses dying, because he has been through so much. So let's continue here. All right, so we're on verse 54. Well, now we're 55. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes. Wow. And thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. Wow. Which means God does not want them to have any evil associations. So, Bride, we need to consider this. We need to consider what God is saying here. When we go in our promised land, we don't need any idols going in there with us. We don't want to take the world in there with us. We don't want to partner with the idolaters that are over there. Okay? We've got to keep ourselves separate. Yes, you know, of course, minister and all that is different. But you know what I'm saying. Okay, so let's continue in chapter 34. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall unto you for an inheritance, even the land of Canaan with the coast thereof. When your south quarter shall be from the wilderness of Zin, along by the coast of Edom, and your south border shall be the outmost coast of the salt sea eastward, and your border shall turn from the south to the ascent of Akarabim, and pass on to Zin, and the going forth thereof shall be from the south of Kadesh Barnea, and shall go on to Hazadar, and pass on to Asmon. So basically, come on now, this is prophetic, Bride. I've never read this, so I didn't know. Listen, God is defining the border. The border for the children of Israel. God is the one that designs law and order. That's what he's doing with President Trump. These people that do not agree with him putting up a border needs to talk to God about it. Come on now. You know, God told me before he sent me to travel the entire border of the country and pray to secure the border along the entire country. The Lord told me, he said, I am the one who is asking President Trump to secure the borders. He said, I created the first border. When Adam and Eve got in trouble in the garden, I kicked them out of the garden and put an angel to guard the border. And what is God doing right here to Moses? He's telling Moses, I want you to create a border along here. This city, straight line, here, there, here, there. This is amazing. We're going to learn God's design of the ideal city. And we're going to proclaim this for America. All right, so let's see here. All right. And as for, and the border shall fetch a compass from Asmon unto the river of Egypt, and the goings out of it shall be at the sea. And as for the western border, man, I am fired up over this border. Because the people out here throwing such a fit over the immigrants right now and over the border need to read the word of God. You shall even have the great sea for a border. This shall be your west border. And this shall be your north border. From the great sea you shall point out for you Mount Hor. From Mount Hor you shall point out your border unto the entrance of Hamath. And the goings forth of the border shall be to Zedad. And the border shall go on to Ziphron, and the goings out of it shall be at Hazarenan. This shall be your north border. And you shall point out your east border, from Hazarenan to Shepham. And the coast shall go down from Shepham to Riblah on the east side of An. And the border shall descend and shall reach onto the side of the sea of Shinnereth eastward. And the border shall go down to Jordan, and the goings of out of it shall be at the Salt Sea. This shall be your land with the coast thereof round about. Bride, don't you feel like they should go back and read this again? And all this should be given back to the children of Israel? Don't you believe it? They should go back and find exactly where this is at and circle this roundabout and give all this back to Israel, huh? And then you can see why whenever they signed the peace pact in current day times, and they give up the land, okay? They give up part of the land over to the Philistines. You can see why God is going to, a lot of people are saying God's going to have anger towards the people that do that, and he will split their land. Like, did you know that President Trump is getting ready to do this? He's getting ready to sign the peace treaty. It may not be the final one. It may be setting the stage for the Antichrist to sign it when he comes on the scene. But whenever that thing is sealed, that land will pay a price for splitting up God's land, basically. When you see how serious God is about the borders of Israel and the people having this land, and he tells them, if you don't take this land, you're going to pay a price for it. You know, God went before them. He prepared the way for them to take this land. I just want to make sure that everybody on Facebook can hear me clearly. Will you let me know if you're receiving any lag or anything? Let me look on my phone. For some reason, it looks like it to my computer that we have lag. I pray not. So let me look on my phone real quick. Let's see here. Well, I see I'm still live, so let's see. Testing. I see some hearts. Can y'all hear me good? Yes, hallelujah. So there's no lag. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, very good. Well, I'm going to get back to busy. All right, so basically we're learning that they that God has set up borders, okay? And I just think it's so interesting because of what we're going through today. All right, so let's see where we're at. All right, verse 13. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, "This is the land which you shall inherit by lot, which the Lord commanded to give unto the nine tribes and to the half tribe. For the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance." Remember, they wanted that land outside of this promise area. "For the tribe of the children," okay, they received, "the two tribes and the half tribe have received their inheritance on this side of Jordan near Jericho, eastward toward the sun rising. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, These are the names of the men which shall divide the land unto you, Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun. And you shall take one prince of every tribe to divide the land by inheritance. And the names of the men are these." Wow, this is awesome that this is recorded. "And the names of the men are these: of the tribe of Judah, Caleb." That's my grandson's name. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. "And of the tribe of the children of Simeon, Shemuel, the son of Ammihud. Of the tribe of Benjamin, Eladad, the son of Chislon, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Dan, Bukai, the son of Jogli. The prince of the children of Joseph, for the tribe of the children of Manasseh, Haniel, the son of Ephod. And the prince of the tribe of the children of Ephraim, Camiel, the son of Shephtan. And the prince of the tribe of the children of Zebulun, Eliezaphan, the son of Parnak, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Issachar, Paliatel, the son of Azan, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Asher, Ahiad, the son of Shelemiah, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Naphtali, Pedahel, the son of Ammihud. These are they whom the Lord commanded to divide the inheritance unto the children of Israel in the land of Canaan." Now, first of all, bride, this is an honor that these men were chosen. However, with the history of the children of Israel, I would not want that position, would you? Can you imagine? "Why did you give them more land? I can't believe that you chose it here," you know. And so it would not be an easy thing. Okay, so let's go to chapter 35. "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites," now this is going to be good, "of the inheritance of their possession, cities to dwell in. And you shall give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them." How funny! He tells them to give them suburbs. "And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle, and for their goods, and for all their beasts. And the suburbs of the cities which you shall give unto the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round about. And you shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits. And on the other south side 2,000 cubits. And on the west side 2,000 cubits. And on the north side 2,000 cubits. And the city shall be in the midst. This shall be to them the suburbs of the cities." You know what this sounds like, Bride, is the this sounds like the New Jerusalem, doesn't it? Okay, so, and the cities which you shall give shall be of the possession of the children of Israel, give of his cities unto the Levites according to his inheritance which he inherited. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you. What? Oh my gosh! Bride, do y'all know what this means? Oh, I've got to write this down. How amazing! You know, I put that in my book. Where is my book? This is my book called The American Judgment. Let's see, you see right there. I'm proofing it right now for for me to send back to the printer for the when they're officially released. And I just did a subtitle section of cities of refuge that are going to be in the end days, which is very soon. And these are places where people are going to be able to be kind of hidden. They're going to be a place of protection for Christians. Wow. And it even had it here. That's so amazing. Let me write this down. Where'd my go? Okay. All right. Let me write this down, Brad. Okay. Let's see here. City of Refuge. Where was it? Okay, here we go. Verse 11. So it's Numbers 35, verse 11. I'm going to write it over here. Cities of Refuge. Boy, this has been good today, Brian. All right, so let's go back to it about the cities of refuge. Then you shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee here, which kills any person at unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not, and until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities, which you shall give, six cities shall have for refuge. Oh my gosh, I'm about to fall over and cry. Oh my gosh. Bride, oh my gosh. All of you that know me know the impact of this. Six cities into the promised land. What? Oh my gosh. Don't y'all know that last year when the Lord sent me out on the mega revival tour, He told me there will be six cities that I am to prophesy over. When I traveled the United States, He told me there will be three on the east side of the United States and three on the west. And I went across the country and guess where they was, Brad? It was Miami, Florida, New Orleans, El Paso, Texas, Jamestown, North Dakota, Pawtucket, Rhode Island, and Niagara Falls, New York. Which Niagara Falls, New York, you know, is right there on the Canada border. I'm like, wow, I'm just, woo! Hallelujah, Jesus! I am fired up about these refuge cities. All right, so let's see here. Okay, because in my heart, I believe the refuge cities that we have coming is like when all this hits, okay? When the judgment hits, people are going to have to go somewhere, especially like ministers, prophets are going to have to go somewhere to get restored because they will be on death's door in many places they go, like. When you read the book of Acts, all the different apostles and disciples that got beat and You know, we're going to see this great persecution to the churches coming. I mean, it's already here, but it will get worse. But these people will be able to go in these cities, and they will be protected. It'll be like a dome over these cities, and these prophets, these Christians, these evangelists and ministers will be protected in these cities. Wow, I'm just fired up. Oh, I love the Word of God. Okay, so let's go back to the days of old here. All right. You shall give three cities on this side of Jordan. What? And three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. Oh my gosh. It's the same way, three on each side of the river. And you know that's what it was with mine. Three on each side of the Mississippi River. I know y'all think this woman has flipped her lid, but you would have to experience what I experienced last year, Brian. The Lord took me across this country with nothing. And he took, you know, I know that we have an earthquake coming. I've already had the dream of it. Right there on the Madrid fault line, that's going to literally split the United States in half. Okay, and probably when that peace treaty is signed. There's many, many people that's having dreams right now, left and right, about this coming. These earthquakes going to split, tsunamis coming in, wiping out cities. I'm telling you, Bride, you've got to get ready. But I'm just amazed at the word right here. Okay, so you shall give three cities on this side of Jordan, and three cities shall you give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger. Wow, that's amazing. And for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unaware may flee there. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron, so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. Ooh, that is freaky. Avenger. Isn't that freaky, Bride? The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. Watch this, Bride. Let me turn my volume up. I'm going to Google this. Let's see. This is Numbers 35. Who is the avenger of blood in Numbers 35? Hey, here we go. Let's go to the Jewish Encyclopedia. Oh my gosh, it's the nearest relative of a murdered person. Wow. It was his right and duty to slay the murderer. If he found him outside of a city of refuge, in order that this law might be guarded against abuse, Moses appointed six cities of refuge. I'm still in awe, bro. I am in awe over six cities of refuge. Oh my goodness. These were in different parts of the country, and every facility was afforded the manslayer, that he might flee to the city that lay nearest him for safety. Into the city of refuge, the avenger does not follow him. Wow! This arrangement applied only to cases where the death was not premeditated. The case had to be investigated by the authorities of the city, and the willful murderer was on no account to be spared. He was regarded as an impure and polluted person. Wow. He was delivered up to the Goel, whatever that is. If the offense was merely manslaughter, then the fugitive must remain within the city till the death of the high priest. Wow. This is in BibleStudyTools.com. Wow. That is amazing. Okay, let's get back to the word here. Okay, we're on verse 18, chapter 35. Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer, the murderer shall be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred, or hurl him at him by laying on of weight that he die, or an enmity smite him with his hand that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death. What? You got to be kidding. Picture this, bride. Let's say somebody kills your family member, and then you're the next one in line to kill them. Wouldn't you be mad? I mean, like, wouldn't you want to? I mean, it's a revenger. It's a revenge. You're going and killing that person because they killed your family member. But God is saying here, you cannot do it out of anger. Isn't that something? How are you going to kill somebody and not be in anger? Boy, what a hard thing. Okay. Let's see. Or with any stone, we're on verse 23. Wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm. Then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, wherewith he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood. Wow. Because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return to the land of his possession. Wow. In other words, if he broke the law again and he left the city, then if he got killed, he got killed. He's not protected if he's outside of the refuge city. So these things shall be for a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Moreover, you shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death. And you shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the priest. So you shall not pollute the land wherein you are. Come on, that'll preach. Do not pollute America. That is what he's saying. Do not pollute it. How do we pollute it, bride? Remember what he said when God was laying down the law to Moses about going into this promised land. He was to take the land from the Canaanites. And what was he to do? Get rid of all the idols and all pictures. Anything having to do with their culture, they had to get rid of it. Because God does not want them mixing. Okay, so you shall not pollute the land where you are. For blood, it defileth the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein. What? Wow. But by the blood of him that shed it. Wow. That is amazing. Him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which you shall inhabit, wherein I dwell. For I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. Aww. Bride, we can definitely say that for us today. God is with us. When we are His children, He's with us. And He doesn't want to be around a bunch of idols and idolatry. Amen? Alright, so let's go on to chapter 36. And the chief fathers of the family. Now, this is the last chapter of Numbers. And after today, we'll be done with Numbers. And remember, Numbers is the official scribe, the official documents of the children of Israel going from the wilderness into the promised land. I'm so excited. I hate to even stop today. I hate to even stop because now they're going in their promised land and we have been with them for months going through all this. All right, so here we go. And the chief fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph, came near and spoke before Moses. Oh my goodness, what are they going to say? And before the princes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel. And they said, the Lord commanded my Lord to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, unto his daughters. And if they be married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers, and shall be put to the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall it be taken from the lot of our inheritance. And when the jubilee of the children of Israel shall be, I'm on verse 4, bride. 36, verse 4. It shall be their inheritance, be put unto the inheritance of the tribe, whereunto they are received. So shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. And Moses commanded the children of Israel according to the word of the Lord, saying, the tribe of the sons of Joseph has said well. This is the thing which the Lord does command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best. Only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. What? Are you kidding me? Even with the tribes of Israel, he wanted them to stay in the same family? Well, I guess they would have to keep their tribes going, huh? Because if they mix with other tribes, then they all become intermingled, and then there's not one pure tribe. Amen? Wow, so let's read that again. Okay, so this is the thing which the Lord does command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best. Only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. so shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe. Wow. Okay. For every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter that possesseth an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be wife unto one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his fathers. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it, Brian? Neither shall the inheritance remove from one tribe to another tribe, but every one of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep himself to his own inheritance. Even as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. For Mahlah, Tirzah, and Hoglah, and Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married unto their father's brother's sons. And they were married unto the families of the sons of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of the family of their father. These are the commandments and the judgments which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses unto the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. Yay! We finished Numbers. Can you believe it? What a long book. Numbers has been very long. All right, Brian. Well, tomorrow we will be in Deuteronomy. I am excited. We have finished Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. You know, these are what they call the Torah. And the reason they're the Torah is because it is the law from God. And, you know, when you think about it, Brian, the reason that God made these laws is because he is trying to build a relationship with mankind. So he says, I cannot be around sin. I have to be around, you know, I have to have you do this. He knows what it takes to have relationship. And now that we know the price of sin, and we consider when Jesus came and how he was our lamb, the pure, spotless lamb, how blessed are we that he did that for us. So amazing. Brother, I am still in awe over these refuge cities. I'm telling you, there's a correlation. Oh, man. Which reminds me, I need to put those words in my book. Let me write that down. Put six city prophecies in book. I have to write it down. I have so much I have to do today, so I have to write it down. All right, Bride, what a blessing. Yay, we finished Numbers. I am so excited. I have fell in love with Moses and the children of Israel. And so tomorrow we will start in Deuteronomy. And then this, I know Moses dies in Deuteronomy. I researched it. Moses dies in Deuteronomy chapter 34, I believe. So Moses basically spends Deuteronomy explaining to this new generation, because remember, this generation is the younger ones, because God made them go out in the wilderness 40 more years, the older ones, so that they would die off because of their rebellion. Oh, looky here, Bride. Numbers only has 34. So I guess Deuteronomy. So we will spend Deuteronomy, you have 5 chapters, so it'll be 6 days. So, oh my goodness, let's see, tomorrow is Thursday. We will get these done before I go to D.C. Oh, okay, so that means I have to have Deuteronomy done by Tuesday because I leave on Wednesday. So, if we do 6, it'll be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. 6 days. All right. So, every day for the next 6 days, we are going to plow through Deuteronomy, okay, Brian? We are going to plow through Deuteronomy and get that done before I go to Washington, D.C. and walk into the White House and pray in the White House. I'm going to think about these 6 cities. There's something profound about these cities in our country because of what's coming. So I'm excited. Well, listen, let me pray for y'all. Lord, I pray for all my friends out there that they will follow this Bible study, Lord, because you are moving. You are teaching us. You're burying this in our hearts. You are putting the characters in the Bible in our hearts. We are literally living. We're living the Word with these people. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher and leading us and guiding us through the Word. It's an adventure, and we're excited about this adventure, Lord. So I pray for all my friends out there that they would dig in the Word and start following this every day so that we can plow through this together, eat the scroll, and so that when the old beast tries to come and take the words, we can say, that's fine. We got it all right here. Come on now. God is good. And Lord, we praise you and give you honor and glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Brad. Well, y'all have a great day. It's been fun today. I am so happy to be done with Numbers. Amen.